Eat the kitty. Coming up on TMS, who cares about the VMAs?
War on Compton!
Mr. Robot makes a change.
Sorry, McKinley.
Mexican says 19 inches is too much.
What?
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Good for valuable premiums. It does if you're smoking Raleigh's, America's greatest cigarette value. Coming your way 2 weeks from today.
Big news. Good news.
And now back again after a hectic week in Hollywood.
Sit down, sit down, sit down. Excuse me, sit down, you weren't called. Sit down, sit down. Excuse me, sit down, you weren't called. Sit down, sit down, sit down.
The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. We're doing it for Kowalski.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is Monday, the August of 31st. 31st
yes,
of August.
Yes, the August of 31st.
The Ides of March.
The never of 12th.
Yes, exactly. Very end of the month, really. Tomorrow is the 1st of September.
Yeah, how quickly did August go?
August flashed by like, what can I compare it to? I don't even know.
It rolled by like a white wall tire.
There you go. It ran by like a naked white man. yeah, it's gone. That's it. That's all you get. That's all you get for your August. It was hot. Last night it cooled down almost as if it knew fall was coming. Like, it just immediately got cool out. It was really nice. We went out and had a picnic outside. And
oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was very nice last night. Some time with the family. I feel like I haven't hardly seen my family lately, just with school starting up. And
Kim's travel.
Yeah, and, Kim being everywhere. That's why I didn't raid. I had to help Nick with homework, which was the other reason I couldn't raid.
Yeah.
Did you raid?
I did raid. Yeah, we did. We took down the... the council, the council fight, and then something. I think we hit our heads a few times on. I think we cleared two bosses.
That's
so
good.
It must have been, we didn't get the boss that hangs out in the pool.
Oh,
you know, the one that has like the green, orange, and purple pools, and he.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Makes goo come out of the pools and stuff.
Yeah. And the water looks like a ditch in New Jersey or something. Like,
that's the one. That's the one.
I know
yes.
That one. Yeah, been there, done that. Never seemed to beat that one though when we were there. Actually, I think maybe we beat that one time. I think we have.
Yeah, we totally have, because we've done it a couple times. We got achievements because of it, because none of us got hit by the goo.
Oh, that's right, which is nearly impossible. Those little waves of goo.
It's a tough achievement to make.
Yeah, well, look at us doing it by accident. Anyway, we're back and we're doing a show. We got a whole week of TMS here, except I guess Thursday. But I may have a treat for Thursday morning when you're traveling.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I'll let people know as we get closer to make sure it's going to happen, because we have a talented volunteer in the listening audience who has an idea. And
ooh, all right. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to make the effort. So it would be 6:30 Atlanta time, basically,
correct,
is when we would do it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to commit to saying I'm not going to go downtown Thursday night, or at least I'm not going to go downtown before TMS. I might just want to relax before all the craziness ensues on Friday morning.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'll fly in. I'll grab dinner somewhere near the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And we could also do it a little early if you wanted. Like, you know.
Oh, we could.
Yeah, I'm totally able to shift around that day.
As long as it's after 12:01, it's TMS PM, right? That's the only stipulation.
That's it. That's all
the contractual obligation we have.
That's all it needs to make it PM. Maybe listen, this is what we'll do, everybody. Brian and I will put our heads together and we'll come up with a time, and then we'll tell you the new time for the live show on Thursday.
In that case, we can absolutely commit to it, because, you know, I get into Atlanta like 3 something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a 4:30 TMS PM isn't out of the question.
Yeah. And by that time of day, it's only like 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
I'm going to want to stay in the hotel room anyway, right?
180% humidity. It'll be fine.
All right.
Anyway,
okay.
That sounds like a plan, Brian. So yesterday, a big thing happened in our lives. A really important, monumental...
something that we'll be talking about forever, right?
Right, really. It's a hallmark.
Where were you? Do you remember where you were on the day?
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
The hallmark of human history that is the MTV Video Music Awards. I'm not asking this question sarcastically. I really wonder who's caring. Because there's an entire... throng, okay, the young people that MTV used to target,
yeah,
they don't care about MTV.
I think they still do. I think that the they care about music videos. They care about their favorite pop artists. I mean, the
but
fact
don't
that
they care
Ariana
about them
Grande,
on like YouTube is all they care about, though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, they watch them on YouTube. I mean, YouTube. That's the that's the version of YouTube that's just west of me.
Yeah.
You know, they'll watch the videos on YouTube, and then kind of like the Oscars, they'll see who wins, and they'll see, oh my gosh, what exciting things are going to happen. It's less about who's winning the awards and what the talked about moments are going to be from things like that. I think ever since Madonna and Britney
kissing.
Kissed,
yeah, the kissy deal.
I think that was like, oh, you know what? This awards thing is probably more about being able to talk about it the next day and you know, at school being able to say, did you see Miley Cyrus's nipple last night? Oh my God.
Do you think they do that though? Do you think the kids really, like I was trying to gauge it with some of the kids' friends. Like when I was growing up, it was all the rage. It was like, dude, Michael Jackson won last night. Sweet. Oh yeah. Did you see, I don't know, Run DMC perform? That was amazing.
Did you see Jethro Tull get the award for the the award for best new metal act or something?
Not quite that old, but... But yeah, we
No, they got it recently.
Oh, they did? Really?
Something like was it Jethro Tull? I think one says Jethro Tull.
Sitting on a park bench.
Exactly.
I don't remember.
But anyway. Yeah.
So my thing is that it just doesn't seem to be in their zeitgeist. They follow, you know, whatever they follow, but they're following them in a different place. They're just not watching a channel called MTV. Now they may, I guess maybe there could be some running theory. I'm doing an experiment today. I've asked Nick to kind of pull some friends because he's got a bunch of hipster friends who all act like they know what's going on.
Right.
And I want to know how
See,
many
that's
of them.
The wrong demographic, though. I don't think anybody who hangs out with Tristan or hangs out with Nick or Carter or Taylor is the VMA crowd. I think it's the crowd that you see the YouTube videos whenever One Direction announces that they're going to split up.
Yeah,
it's the ones that post the YouTube videos of them sobbing uncontrollably.
That's a good point.
Inconsolably.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, I've got Nick listening to, you know, stuff I like.
He's like, you know, listening to Mumford and Sons and
sure.
Or stuff like that.
He's got his mixtape is like a mix of The Killers and not tape. He has a Spotify playlist.
You're
but
right.
I agree with you. I agree that. But I guess that's kind of my point. They no longer have the kids at large. They've lost them to some degree, and to some, I think I just feel very strongly to some other degree the VMAs are serving old people who think it's still relevant. I'm not sure if I'm making that sound the way I mean
you
it
think
to
like the soccer moms are watching the VMAs with their kids. Oh, did you see what Miley was wearing? Oh my gosh.
Well, not so much that.
Don't
but
you
like,
ever wear anything like that?
At least, like the performers and people, they're hoping that this is an aspect of their exposure.
No,
maybe it is. I don't know.
Ever since 1981, MTV's demographic has every year inched back 3 months, like their range, right there. Yeah. So, MTV in 1981 was like appealing to the 20 something crowd. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, 1982, -6 months, -3 months,
right.
And slowly until in the year 2020, when Kanye runs for president, MTV will be will focus on toddlers. It'll basically be showing brilliant Einstein or whatever it is, baby Einstein. What's the thing?
Baby, what's that called?
Isn't that called baby Einstein or baby Mozart?
What's that called? I think maybe it is baby
something
Einstein.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, but anyway,
Einstein Jr., whatever it is. No, you're probably right. And look, it's fine. I realize that I'm nowhere near the blast radius for what they're trying to hit here. Okay, I get it. I get you and I are not even supposed to be considered, but because we do this show and we talk about what's happening in popular culture, it's hard to avoid things like Hannah Montana's boobie popping out or whatever else happened last night. Like for some reason, Justin Bieber came out, did some what they're calling a comeback performance.
Oh.
What is he, 22?
Wow, he's finally coming back.
Yeah, and then he bawled his eyes out the whole time.
Oh, geez.
And I'm trying to figure out why. What was he upset about? Was it just like, was it a big moment of, oh, I'm back. I've overcome my reckless driving and constant scissor
ways.
Yeah, all the scissor drinking
buckets. What? All right. So I put this out there in the chat room. Not really a question, but just a statement. So a giant sinkhole swallows up the MTV Video Music Awards.
Sure. What do we really lose?
Who do you miss? Like, I was thinking, well, you know, the Black Keys, they're probably there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were nominated for anything, but they had an album that came out and it was really good, and mm-hmm. I like them.
Sure.
I'd hardly call them pop. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, like, Mumford and Sons were there, or...
they might have been out there someplace.
You think?
Maybe.
I don't think...
I don't think they were on stage or anything, but they... Well, I don't know. Why would you go if you weren't, though?
Sia? I wonder if Sia would have been there. I would have missed Sia.
Yeah,
that would
C
have been
cool.
That would have been a
C is cool. I don't know if she was there though.
Yeah, who knows? See,
okay, let's say that it only swallowed up everyone we saw on stage.
Okay,
let's say that that's all that this sinkhole
I didn't watch it, so I don't know who was on stage. I'm guessing. I can guess it at who would be there on stage.
I mean, you're not gonna, you know, nobody that we care about was up there.
I know. I think maybe there's got to be, like, is there a list of the
probably?
Here we go. Yeah, the performers and presenters list. All right, so
yeah.
Tell me out of this list. Oh, it's a fairly short list, so we'll be able to get through this.
Okay.
Tell me who you miss.
All right, go ahead.
Nick Jonas.
Nope.
Walk the Moon.
Nope.
Kind of would miss Walk the Moon.
Would you really?
Nicki Minaj.
All right, no. Wasn't she the one that got her boob poked by one of the Pointer Sisters or something?
Well, isn't that appropriate?
Well, no, wasn't there there was one of the, because the VMAs always try to have a controversial moment, like Madonna kissing Britney Spears or whatever, and then this, you know, Miley Cyrus boob. But there was a year.
Like several years ago.
Oh,
right?
It was Lil Kim.
Diana Ross. It was Diana Ross and Lil Kim.
Lil Kim, yeah, that's it. Okay, never mind. Back, I've got all my people mixed up. All right, anyway.
How old are you?
Keep giving me these names.
All right, The Weeknd. I'm not gonna call him The Weeknd because there's no second E. It's like Twitter or Flickr.
I don't think
they do that song, I Can't Feel My Face When I'm With You.
Oh, I kinda like that.
I kinda do too.
Okay, I don't like him to die.
All right. Pharrell Williams.
He can go, it's fine.
we've reached our
Can his hat go with him?
Yes. Okay. He'd be saved by that.
All right.
Tori Kelly, I have no idea who that is.
I know who that is. She has a Vine account, which is how I heard her. She's got a lovely voice. It would be sad to see her talent be wasted, but right now she's making music for toddlers, so I don't.
All right.
I won't miss her music.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Macklemore is the rapper man, right?
Yeah, that's the thrift shop, popping tags.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pop some tags.
That's the one, yes.
And then what's the other one?
Ryan Lewis. They perform together. It's,
Yeah, it's. No, they're fine. They can go. It's fine. We got lots of rappers.
Demi Lovato.
She can go. It's fine.
Justin Bieber.
He can totally go.
All right.
And I'm not saying, by the way, I want to make this clear. I'm not saying they can all die. I'm saying they'll get sucked into like Chud Land where they all live on.
Right, exactly. I'm saying that this sinkhole doesn't crush them.
Yeah.
But it irrevocably separates them from the rest of society.
Yeah, and they have to together band together and
form a new
new society, a new subterranean existence. It's amazing.
All right, I'm gonna rip through the because those are all the performers. 21 Pilots, ASAP Rocky also listed in there. I'm gonna rip through all the presenters here. We'll go through them really quick, and you say stay or go.
Okay,
or who all is probably more likely? All right, Kelly Osbourne.
Go.
Jared Leto.
Stay.
Yeah, good actor. Britney Spears.
Go.
Rita Ora.
Go.
Miguel.
I don't know. What?
There you go. Who? Who?
Yeah, I'll give you a who on that one.
John Legend.
Go.
Ne-Yo.
Go.
Rebel Wilson.
I don't know who that is.
What? she's Pitch Perfect.
The big one.
The heavier set blonde woman.
Right,
yes.
Got it. Right, the big one. Got it. All right.
she's Britain's answer to Melissa McCarthy.
Okay. Yeah. She can go. They'll need her. It's fine.
Okay. They'll need her. Soraya and Jussie Smollett.
Go based purely on the names.
Kylie Jenner.
Go for sure.
1,000 times over.
Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Who the hell is that?
She was the woman featured prominently in the Robin Thicke Blurred Lines video.
Oh.
Apparently she's a thing now.
She should go. They need women.
And finally, Ice Cube and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Ice Cube?
Ice Cube.
Oh, he stays.
Yeah.
I love Ice Cube.
Good choice.
The other guy can go. That's fine.
All right. There you go.
So those few names that I mentioned should stay, should just leap real hard and fast, grab onto lighting or something, and then survive.
They should actually step on some of the other people we mentioned to claw their way out of the sinkhole.
Yeah, like claw your way up a British answer to Melissa McCarthy here. Excellent. Well, we've given the VMAs their due form here today. And
Ninja Steve says that Rebel Wilson is Australian.
Oh, is she?
But she was
aren't
British.
They,
okay.
Aren't they all though? Everyone's Australian now. That's just the way it is. We gave them our TV, and now they come and take over. That's
right.
What's happening.
See,
it's just insane how that's happening. All right, I want to give you a piece of information about a piece of entertainment that is actually entertaining and not crappy, okay?
Ooh, good. Okay, love hearing about
that's
this.
Last night's Film Sack.
That's the one piece of entertainment that happened last night, people.
Yeah, and it was really fun, and we had a great time. Maybe one of my favorite episodes, it turned out to be.
Well, we did two of them. Are you going to tease what the second one was?
Oh, yeah, so next week while Brian's out of town and also Dunaway's out of town, we will be sneaking in a live commentary sack of season 4, episode 3, called The Outsiders, of the venerable television action adventure series, MacGyver. MacGyver gets stuck with a bunch of Amish people, or as they keep calling them, Amish.
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 Those darn Amish.
And they have to save a kid who gets stuck in a well. It is a fantastic viewing for the entire family, and we decided to live sack it. So watch for that next week. But today, you can get our episode about Way of the Dragon, which is the Bruce Lee business, and it was really fun. Just had a great time. So go check that out if you haven't already listened to the show, or if you're hearing about this for the first time, you're like, what the hell are you even talking about? It is filmsack.com. All the free subscription information is there. Listen to it on your iPod, your iPhone, your Android phones, your wherever you get your entertainment. Right there on the web if you like, whatever you want. All right? Okay.
Good stuff.
Let's call Daryl so he'll stop complaining.
Will he though? Yeah. Will that stop it? You think really?
Nope. It won't. Maybe he has a theory as to why Justin Bieber couldn't stop crying.
Maybe he does. Yes, right.
I'm really curious about that. I mean, I'm like genuinely want to know if that was that a mental breakdown? Was that happiness? Was that something else?
Yeah, I saw a clip of it on the Today Show, and I have no idea what I was looking at.
Well, we'll look forward to that in a minute. Here you go. It is a little segment on the show we call Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
a survival hunter looking for a guild and friends in the world of Blizzard Gaming. Available Monday, Friday, and Sunday nights. I level 699 and 10 out of 13 normal. Send a friend request to Artacuno, Artacuno 53, number 1772, and say TMS so I know who sent you. It's like the missed connections on Craigslist all of a sudden.
Yeah, that is one of the strangest ones we've ever gotten.
Single white survival hunter looking for.
It's the name of my new autobiography. Daryl, are you with us? Are you there?
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Can you answer the question for us as the popular culture analysis that you analysist? Wait, that's not a word. Analyst that you are.
That's better.
Why do you think Justin Bieber broke down in tears at the end of his song yesterday? Like bawling his eyes out.
Such an emotional song.
Do you think that's what happened there?
I guess.
Well, I'm trying to find some news here. Justin Bieber broke down in tears after the VMAs. We're trying to get a good photo of this.
Because the drugs he was on wore off, and that's what happens when that happens.
Oh, this is a great animated GIF, though.
Which one's that?
Actually, I'm not sure he's actually crying. I call bull crap. Brian, look at this here. It's in the chat. We're putting it there now.
All right.
Click that. There are two GIFs. I think those are fake cries. I'm not buying it. Especially that second one. That doesn't look real to me.
It doesn't, no.
He's full of crap. Ah, Bieber. All right, anyway. Doesn't matter. Daryl, let's do some.
Princess, at Princess Coral on Twitter, though, says, amazing performance. That's how you get back up from a fall. Listen to the crowd, period. Just listen to them.
Okay. Do you actually want me to off myself on the TMS live show? Because that kind of stuff just drives me crazy. Look, I know I was susceptible to it when I was young, too. You'd have your heroic band that you loved so much get up and do a thing, and you just go, oh, that Eddie Van Halen. When he hit that high note on the fake guitar solo, you just wanted to crap your pants and change your life. But you look back and you go, dude, they're just up there with songs. It's right. Just dudes playing a thing, and you like it. You like it or you don't. It's not some life-altering bullshit. I'm all fired up now. All right, Daryl, damn it. Back that truck up and let's do a trivia question about Star Trek. Here you go. Oh, we have to do a mashup. Here you go. Ready? Oh, mashup. Cool.
Yeah.
This will be one of those where we can't tell when it ends and when we start. Also, it may be a little quiet because last
Has
time
it started
it was
yet?
No, it's starting now. Grundle? Grindle?
No,
what was it? Grandma Grindle.
Oh, my God.
Groping the Grindle.
Every time you say that, it slips further and further away from my fingers.
Sorry.
Annie Gable.
Grand old Grimble.
Griggle McFlangender.
Grumble.
Temple Grandin. Thank you, MKO.
I mean, it's not Grimble Grandle? I can't believe it. Anyway, so she's just
great.
And
the award for best actress goes to Claire Danes for her work in Grimble Grandle.
All right, there it ended. That wasn't even a mashup. That was just a clip.
Did it really end?
Yeah, it's over.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was just a clip of a conversation that we had about Grimble Grandle. All right, Errol, back to you.
There's a Trek quote in that movie, too.
Oh, no way. What was it?
I don't remember what it was, though, but there's one in there.
Oh, weird. Well, it's set in the...
Temple Grandin, really?
It's set in the in the mid-60s, so it could technically be right around Trek time.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a horse doctor, not a doctor.
Well, I don't know if it's a quote, but they talk about Trek in there.
You don't think it's just a straight-up somebody touching a gross-looking rock and yelling pain or something like that? It's like a real... It's probably some more subtle... Thing.
He's dead, Jim. I mean, Temple.
Temple or Grimble?
Grimble. It was something like, what's your favorite show? Star Trek? Oh, mine too.
Oh, it was like that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and then much less exciting. All right, Daryl, back to the thing here. Got a question for you. You're the Trek nerd. You know about Star Trek stuff, so you're going to answer this trivia question today. Start off the week properly. It is this. Data would occasionally write poetry. All right, TNG question here for you. He performs, or as he wrote, preforms a reading of the crew, for the crew. In what episode, or episdo, is what he wrote here.
He's just not even trying anymore.
In what episdo?
You know what those red lines mean under the words, Ice Swarm? Those little red lines, jagged lines?
Yeah, those red lines, man. Remember life before
that
the red lines?
Help you. It looks like you're trying to type episode. Would you like some help?
I remember the day that browsers got their little red lines. And I remember that day being the greatest day of my life. Because up till then, browsers didn't have, you know, inline spell checking.
Right, any sort of, right.
And now it's so a thing I rely on that I just don't even, I mean, we're heading toward idiocracy. You mentioned right. Kanye being president. It's probably not that far from the truth.
No. That's what he said the VMAs last night, is that he's going to run for president in 2020. I
mean, look at Trump's poll numbers, dude.
I know.
That guy could,
I know, you know, we're really... not that far from President Macho Camacho or whatever.
It's true. It's going to happen.
No President more Oreos. Supreme.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's going to be happen.
Anthony Weiner, you're sick. You're fired.
Okay, great. Whatever. Let's do this thing then. Oh, yeah. What was the point? Oh.
Yeah, Data's poems.
In what episode does Data recite his Ode to Spot poem? Was it A, Lessons, B, Data's Day, C, Schisms, or D, In Theory? So that's Lesson, Data's Day, Schisms, or In Theory. Them's your options. Think about them real hard. I don't think we have anything to tell. Oh, you know, we do have the bear things, right?
Yeah. Except we do. Well, no, we have the other Oreos. Oh, we never ate the key lime.
What? Oh, we do. This is great news. I forgot we had another bag.
Win. Good news, everyone.
Good news.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Oh, well, yeah, we didn't. We ate some other lime thing.
Yeah. I forgot we had these. So we saved the I think possibly the best for last because I'm a giant key lime pie fan. I ate, by the way, there are no more of the s'more Oreos.
Wow.
I may have eaten those in a week.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, they just I'm not happy.
Put them next
about
to you
it.
While you played Diablo, didn't you?
Well, let me tell you the truth, and this is not kidding. When I went into last week, I was 197 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Just below my normal 200-pound or so goal. It's right where I want to be for my height and age. And I now weigh 201 pounds since last week.
Wow.
I have a feeling that the Oreos are responsible for those 4 or so pounds. So I could be wrong, but I think that might be.
Anyway. Right directly underneath the part that you open on this bag, there's a little red box that says sealed.
Mm.
I think if you glance really quickly at the text that appears in the white area on right below where it says sealed,
yeah,
it looks like shit appears when opened.
Shit appears when open. It does. Oh, slit. But the way it's written, it does look like it says the other word.
It does.
Oh, that's amazing. Also, I think it's probably some afterthought where they were like, you know what? We really probably let people know that this really easy to open thing is actually sealed before they open it.
Yeah.
Right. Because now that you've seen it this way, you could tamper with these real easy, couldn't you?
Oh, right. Sure.
Somebody could put cyanide in these. But don't worry. Eat them today. It's
oh,
fine.
Yeah. There you go. That's why. Because so there's a thing that comes that opens across the word sealed that lets you know when it's been tampered with.
Oh, look at that.
What? I'm going to tamper. Tamper. Oh, it does.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Okay. The others didn't have this.
No, they didn't.
Oh, well, they're getting smart.
I know, across that with a little a razor, and then because there was
a whole rash of tampered s'mores flavored Oreos last week.
Now, if you look at the if you look at the opening now, here everybody, look at my opening. I'm gonna hold this up. Nice warm. It looks like a little spaceman, doesn't it? With Oreo face, or a condom. It's like a condom. Right? Anyway, all right.
This smells awesome.
Yeah, I'm already sure that these are going to be the end of me. Oh, they smell great.
I'm Pavlovian dog response here.
So that's these are limited edition. You're not going to see these very often. They are Graham. It says Graham flavored cookie. That's important to say that it's not actual Graham. Whatever.
It's flavored like a Graham.
And then
it's flavored like Graham.
Yeah. Well, old good old Graham. We keep her with us in the form of a cookie. And then key lime pie is the middle bit. It's the green bit. So here we go. Let's try it. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, Oreos.
That is good. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oreo knows how to... Oreo is the Kit Kat. Oreo to America is as Kit Kat is to Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
They know how to do the varieties and make them good.
This is bad news for me. I got to get these hell away from me. Or I'll eat all of them.
I'm going to do another Periscope where I hand these all out to the kids and watch them go crazy.
That's a great idea.
I still think of this batch. The s'mores were my favorite.
Those people
I agree.
You know the Meerkat, the competitor? Whoops. I mean to present. The competitor to... The Periscope, they contacted me for some show things. Isn't that interesting?
Really?
Yeah, it may impact TMS. I don't know. We're taking a meeting, so we'll figure out what that's about.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. What are we doing now? Oh, yeah, back to the Daryl where he tells us about Star Trek history in today. Today in Star Trek history is what I meant to say the whole time.
Ah, yes. Back on this day in 1958, Leslie Shatner was born. She is the oldest daughter of Bill.
Oh.
And the namesake of Lieutenant Leslie. She was also one of the kids in the TOS episode Mirroring.
Oh, all right. That's cool. Is she she's still around doing stuff, right? Like she's
still around.
Leslie Shatner. Oh yeah, look at her. She's lovely. Oh no, she's not.
Oh wow.
Wait, maybe she is. Wait. Oh no, she's just a kid in that photo. What's going on there? Where's some modern day images here?
I don't know if she's still an actress.
Yeah, there's
went to real estate or something.
there's a lot of pictures of women who are named Leslie Shatner.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many of them are really.
Why is they keep showing the picture of a you know nothing Jon Snow lady? She keeps showing up in this.
I think that looks like her. I mean, I think that's what she looks like. Because there's the picture of, there we go. August 31st, 1958. She's 56. I think she just happens to look a lot like the you know nothing Jon Snow woman.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that redhead who's like the fourth or the fifth image, mm-hmm. the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's her. She's a lovely woman.
I found a horrible picture of Shatner. Oh my gosh. Okay, here.
Oh boy. But here's what's funny is there are almost as many pictures of Kaylee Cuoco. That is a bad picture of.
That's really Shatner. Bad. Oh, poor guy.
But the Jews have climbed up his shoulder and claimed him as their own.
Yeah, I guess so. There's a little flag back there. Jewish flag. Right.
But Kaylee Cuoco is listed as William Shatner's daughter almost as much as Leslie Shatner.
That's weird.
She's the daughter of the negotiator.
Oh, right.
So
is she for real? Kaylee Cuoco is?
Kaylee Cuoco is playing the negotiator's daughter who's going to be taking over the reins from
Got it.
Negotiator.
I thought you meant the person who played the negotiator is her actual dad.
No.
Okay. We don't know.
Because that would be Shatner.
That would be Shatner. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Unless you're referring to the movie The Negotiator, in which case it's Kevin Spacey.
Or is it Samuel T. Mother F. and Jackson? Who was in that? Was he in that?
Oh, yeah, he was, but he was the negotiatee.
Ah, right.
He was the guy who was fed up.
I like that movie.
I do, too. Such a great movie.
Yeah, it's good.
So many. Holy cow. If you want to talk about your parade of fantastic character actors.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your Kevin Spacey, you've got your Samuel L. Jackson, and everybody else in that movie is like, oh, I love that guy. Oh, she's awesome. Yeah. Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot. That's true.
All these great other character actors.
It was like Spacey's one big, like, Bruckheimer-y kind of movie, wasn't it? Like, the kind of Bruckheimer-y, who's the other guy? The rock guy. I can't think of his name. Transformers. Michael Bay. It's kind of a Michael Bay kind of 90s, late mm-hmm. 90s kind of Michael Bay kind of thing. I liked it a lot. People should see it. Worth your time. Oh my gosh, something's in the air and it's making me all sniffly.
You are. You're totally.
I don't know what it is. I don't ever get fall allergies, dude. But this year, all the time. Late summer fall allergies. I don't
care. Weird.
Something in the air. Anyway, Daryl, back to you. Back to the question. What do you think here? Lessons, data's day, schisms, or in theory, one of these was the episode where he performs his spot
ode
the cat.
To spot.
Yeah, ode to spot.
Yes. I have a feeling which one it is.
You have a feline which one it is?
Are you in a different room? Like, where are you right now? You sound so different today.
Am I? Do I?
Wait, where's your microphone?
You sound further away from the mic all of a sudden.
Well, maybe.
Oh.
Well, that's better and worse.
Yeah, much better and worse. Better and worse.
Skype went goofy as soon as you got closer to the mic.
Yeah, you're fine now. You sound fine now.
Oh, I picked up my phone.
Oh.
I'm shoving it in my face. I assume that the microphone on the headphones is not working.
Oh, that is what it sounds like. Sounds like mm-hmm. the phone is not your mic.
Stupid thing.
Yeah. That's all right.
Okay, anyway.
We'll take what we can get.
Less day to day. That would be too obvious because that was all about his day.
How he spends his day.
Yeah,
it is really.
It is. I remember that. Yeah.
He wakes up. He gets out of bed. He drags a comb across his head.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He went his way to Tenford and drank a cup.
And then
Guinan spoke, and he went into a dream.
And then everything gets discordant and druggy and weird.
Okay, lessons. Lessons. What was lessons?
I don't know.
I don't really remember that one. In theory was, I saw that one not long ago. I know it's not that one. Let's see. In theory is where he has a relationship with some girl that has a problem having relationships with people that are just like Data. So she gets into another one with Data.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. Wasn't that, I want to say that wasn't the actress who played Lita in Deep Space Nine, but very similar to her, right?
Oh, Sort of, yeah, kind of. Now that you mention it. I don't think it's her, though.
As the girl
who, it wasn't her.
Yeah.
No, definitely not Lita, but a very similar actress to her that played her in that, or that played Data's girlfriend in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't that. Okay, I don't know what Lessons is, so I'm crossing that out. It wasn't Data's Day, because I would remember that from that. And it wasn't In Theory, because I recently saw that, and it wasn't in that, so that leaves Schisms, which is what I highly suspected anyway.
You neither take Schisms nor leave Schisms.
What is a schism? I don't even know.
A schism, it's like what do you like? You're torn in half. It's if there is a schism between you and your mother-in-law, it's because
she's... Well, that's a chasm, though.
No, that's, well, the schism is the act of creating the chasm, though. So, like, the schism is like the tearing asunder of the relationship. The ripping apart.
I thought schism and chasm were... I was getting them confused, but
no,
it's because
you can,
they're the same thing.
Because you could, your car could accidentally drive down a chasm, but it wouldn't drive down a schism. The schism would be what opened up and pulled your car in, maybe initially, but then you're stuck in a chasm. Right?
Okay.
I think
you
that's
say so.
I think that's how the isms work. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, let's find out if you're right. If you are, then good. If not, well, then you're not. Let's find out. Turns out you are.
Congratulations.
Yay.
You're a winner.
Schisms. He performs the poem in this episode. Riker is at the reading and is very tired. He falls asleep during part of the reading. Then he visits Dr. Crusher and says he's going to sleep, but waking up tired. I don't know what that means. Let's play it. Let's find out. Here's a clip.
I have no problem getting to sleep, and then I think I'm sleeping all night. When I wake up, I feel exhausted.
How long has this been going on?
2-3 days. Do you have to hold that thing that close? I'm sorry. I've been on edge all day.
Well, other than some muscle tension in your neck, I don't see anything physically wrong with you. Have you been having bad dreams?
Not that I can remember.
What happened to him in that? I don't remember. Is this the one where he goes crazy?
He was just getting increasingly angry. Like, he kept getting more and more aggressive. And
He's not he doesn't become a caveman later.
No. That's a different one, I think.
Not a caveman.
All right, that's good. Well, all right, then. There you have it. Good job, Daryl. Way to go. We're proud of you. And tomorrow you get to try to do it again. Daryl's the Trek Nerd in Twitter. On Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And that's it. What else? That's it. All right, Daryl, play a game with us. What do you got for us?
Oh, what do I have? I was first going to title this Trek or Trump.
Okay.
But
Sit down.
All right, go ahead.
Go back to Univision.
I think
we
we'll
don't want perverts.
Okay, sorry, what?
Well, we can still call it that.
All right.
Is this a... keep playing them. We might play one of the ones I have here.
Oh, all right.
Is this a Ferengi rule of acquisition or a Donald Trump quote?
Oh, that's great.
I love
that's
this.
Great. I'm loving it. Okay, yeah. Donald Trump quote or Ferengi, actual Ferengi term or rule of acquisition?
Okay. It's always good to be underestimated.
Stupid.
Let's see. Always great to be underestimated.
It's always good to be underestimated.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
I could see it being either one, right? Because
it's always good to be underestimated.
Rule number 45.
Grand Nagus.
But then I can also hear him say, "It's always good to be underestimated. It's going to be huge."
Have your opponents underestimate you. It's always good to be underestimated.
Hello.
I don't know why
you
we do like
know a lot
a,
about trucks. Bing, bing, bong. Thank you very much.
He's actually got a higher voice than I was impersonating.
I know. We give him like low, like
it's
going to
be huge.
Going to be huge.
That's the Ferengi Trump. I would say like, it's a rule of acquisition. That's my vote.
Really high.
Okay. You think Ferengi?
I think Ferengi.
Yeah, because I'm getting the sense that it sounds so normal, or it sounds like a thing Trump would say, that it just has to be Ferengi because he's trying to trick us into the other. So I think Ferengi also. We're gonna go Ferengi.
Okay. If you were on Deep Space Nine and the Ferengi leader was there, he wouldn't be saying that because Trump would also be there, and he's the one that would say,
"Damn it." Oh, I knew it was close.
Sorry,
nice trickery there at the end.
Steered us wrong.
By the way, once you go Ferengi, you never go back Ferengi.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
comma, that's awesome, exclamation point. Mm. Do you have a podcast? Do you want your audio clips to be cleaned up? Do you want it up on the feed tomorrow, but you don't have time to edit it? Have me do it. Having previously worked as an editor on StarCast with Garrett Weinzierl and Kyle Ferguson, I've dealt with my fair share of bad audio, dropped calls, technical difficulties, and bad language. The best part being the podcast audience was none the wiser. If you take your podcast seriously, I want you to have a professional sounding podcast. Send an email to me at contact@enrouterecording.com. That's contact@enroute recording.com. Mention Frogpants in the email, and the first full edit is free.
Wow. Editing services for your podcast.
It's pretty cool.
Sounds all right. All right, check it out. What is in the air? War Room raised holy hell at the box office, but Straight Outta Compton still won.
Mm.
The low-budget, faith-based drama War Room rose up and nearly delivered a box office lightning bolt, but the NWA saga Straight Outta Compton hung on to its third week consecutive win in the box office, $13.2 million. Let's see, Universal's F. Gary Gray directed...
F. Gary Gray
and his...
The horse he rode in on.
Exactly, directed Rap Tale this week... Really? We're going to call it a rap tale?
Rap tale.
Jeez. Rap tale. Woo! This weekend became the highest grossing musical biopic ever with $134 million, passing the lifetime domestic total of Walk the Line, which was $119.5. That was the previous record holder for a biopic. But the stunning $11 million debut by the critically skewered War Room defied analysts and the reviewers to steal the show this weekend. When did we start thinking $11 million was a huge take on the weekend?
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems strange to me.
What was its cost to make?
Well, that's a budget. That's a good question. We could find that out probably pretty easy here. I'm going to see. Does Rotten Tomatoes give you that info? I don't know if it does.
IMDb does. I'll jump there while you check Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, look, we're now in the third. So Straight Outta Compton, when it debuted, was like $54 million that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's now down to 13.2. Mission Impossible down to 8.3. Jurassic World only made 3.1 this weekend. So I mean, we're in the fall, late summer. There aren't any big movies coming out anymore. Stuff. So I suppose, given that truth, a little movie called War Room coming out at $11 million maybe is a big deal. It just doesn't seem like a big deal to me.
So Ninja Steve says it was a $2 million movie to make.
Hmm. Let's see, what's this? I'm trying to find more. Okay, there it goes. Box office. How much? 2 million?
2 million, yeah.
Okay, well then they made their money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll give that all to charity, like the good Christian production that it is.
Right? It's funny, it's getting skewered by the critics too.
Yeah, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Says it's not so much the plot or themes of this film that's the problem, or as it is the ham-fisted execution. Much of what follows is turgid and, for non-believers, ridiculous. This one says, Bible study class of a feature film. The first couple of acts of the Kendricks' latest War Room are so heavy on broad pulpit pounding that it's challenging to get swept along in the story's message. Playing down its audience makes War Room too easy to dismiss. Here's my favorite. From Jordan Huffman of The Guardian. One can always keep praying that the next of these films will be good.
Nice.
What's the point of it? Is it a...
Well...
I don't get it. I thought it was like it would be a cool like espionage movie, but it's not. Man, it's
Rogue Nation, though, still like 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, people love that thing.
Yeah, I gotta see it.
Yeah, me too.
And The Gift.
Yeah, The Gif.
It's an animated GIF.
Oh.
Horror movie? No, what is that? Simon and Robin are a young married couple whose life is going just as planned until a chance encounter with an acquaintance from Simon's high school sends their world into a harrowing tailspin. Blah, blah, blah.
How is that?
It's a
mystery suspense movie directed by Joel Edgerton. He makes good movies.
He does with Jason Bateman and Busy Phillips.
So it's a, it's interesting. I don't know what that
thriller.
Is.
Thriller. And I don't know if I've even ever heard this.
Who the hell is Busy Phillips?
She's Freaks and Geeks. You might know her as Kim. She also goes by Kim Phillips.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
She's also on. Hold on. She's on something else.
She was on the Courtney Cox Cougar Town.
Yes, but she's not the one in. She's not the one in Better Off Ted, is she? She's
no,
not that her. Okay,
no, nope, that's not that her. That's it's a different her altogether.
It's not. It's not that her.
It's not that her.
Well, anyway, yeah, I hadn't heard of The Gift at all. That's interesting. I don't like it when my comedic actors do serious roles, though. Bothers me a little bit.
Oh, anyway, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like Jason Bateman, I can't. I don't know why that's weird to me. It just seems weird. That's fine. He can do what he wants.
I think he straddled that line enough, though. I mean, there was the bad words, the spelling bee one, mm-hmm. which was comedic, but mm-hmm.
but dark.
It was a darker, yeah, darker overtones to it.
I heard that was good. I never saw it.
It was great. Oh, really, really good.
Let's see if it streams, I guess. Mr. Robot season finale has been postponed due to a plot overlap with that TV news shoot.
Oh, really? Oh, geez.
Yeah. So all I've heard is nothing but raves about Mr. Robot.
Yeah, same here.
People really like it, and I've not seen it yet. Schwood was telling me the other night that it was the best thing on TV, period.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which really surprised me to hear that. So
thank
I really,
you, Schwood.
I really
or should
want
I say, domo arigat, Mr. Robot.
Mr. there you go. USA Network, who runs the show, will not air the season finale on Wednesday as planned due to the shooting. Quote, the previous filmed season finale of Mr. Robot contains a graphic scene very similar in nature to today's tragic events. This was the other day in Virginia. The network said in a statement, out of respect for those victims, their families and colleagues, and our viewers, we will be postponing tonight's episode. Our thoughts go out to all those affected during this difficult time. USA went on to say the episode will air in its entirety next Wednesday at 10:09 Central. They will air the penultimate episode of the season tonight instead. So they want to give it some space, which I respect
like
that.
The whole at least 9 seasons is on Hulu, so I'll check it out there.
You mean episodes?
I'm sorry, 9 episodes. Yeah,
I was gonna say, whoa, 9 seasons.
they're really good. I mean, they're
they really hauled ass. I just a side note about the shootings. I made the mistake of ending up on a webpage that has a bunch of conspiracy theories that it was faked. Mm-hmm. By the anti-gun lobbies, and the whole thing is just a fake, false thing. When people do that, it is so not cool to the memory and heritage of people who have lost their lives in terrible violent acts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't understand the thinking. So this one guy's theory was the girl's husband-to-be, her fiancé, tweeted how upset he was before the shooting took place. And he said that he saw that because his... The timestamp on Twitter showed it was at like 6 in the morning, but the shooting didn't occur till like 6:45 that morning. And sure enough, that's what the Twitter timestamp says. But this guy's such an idiot. And by the way, he's built an entire castle around his theory that he knew about it ahead of time and goofed and tweeted too soon and that the whole plan unfolded, blah, 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 blah. But here's the smoking gun that it really wasn't a real shooting because the timestamp on the tweet is wrong.
Oh, jeez.
But he's in the wrong time zone. The way Twitter works, it tells you what time your
locally,
time.
Right, yes, what time locally it arrived.
Now, this didn't occur to him before he had gone through 9 pages of explaining all around this thing. And at the end of it is like, no, you're in the different time zone, dumbass. What a waste of your time. Like, people just... Oh my gosh, dude, I shouldn't have gone over there because it just made me more angry as I read it.
Yeah.
Nice fake, nice try, still not going to get my guns. It's like, okay, you're all crazy. Knock it off. And I know, listen, I want to make something clear here. I have lots of gun-owning responsible friends.
Sure.
I'm not calling you out at all. I'm talking about very specifically these conspiracy theorists. So don't send me your hate mail about that. I fired a gun once. I didn't enjoy it.
Once.
Yeah, one time. That's it. Let's see. President Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He's our current president. He's our standing president.
I've heard about him. Yeah, he's... Yeah.
Yeah, he is renaming Mount McKinley to Denali, which apparently is already what the locals have been doing for
That's
decades
right.
It's anyway.
That's what Alaskans have been calling Mount McKinley since, what, 1917?
Mm-hmm. That's, is that right? That sounds correct. He says he's going to change the name of the tallest mountain in North America from Mount McKinley to Denali. He gives the mountain its traditional Alaskan native name, On the eve of the historic presidential visit to Alaska, Denali is the Athabascan word meaning the high one. They used to call Cheech Marin the high one. The name was long been a sore spot for Alaskans who have informally called the 20,320-foot mountain Denali for years now. The mountain was named after former President William McKinley, who literally has nothing else to say about his history except for this mountain was named after him.
Right.
There have been several efforts by Alaska politicians to change it to Denali, but politicians from McKinley's home state of Ohio, this is a big shocker, they're opposing changing
really?
The name.
I wonder why.
Huh. Jeez. Not even in your state, you jackasses.
Not even in your state. There's no connection to McKinley and Alaska. Mm-hmm. Alaska wasn't even a state when mm-hmm. McKinley was president.
Right. It wasn't McKinley. McKinley was a... Let's see. McKinley... I'm trying to see what party. What party was he? McKinley was a Republican. So what I'm wondering is... If McKinley, he was, he was president when? 1897 to September 1901.
Okay.
He was assassinated. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I know very little of these early presidents, sadly. But anyway, he is a stern-looking man. Wow, look at that.
Really?
Wow. Look at this. Here, let me give you this photo here.
Yeah.
This is intense. Here, chat room. You guys can enjoy it as well. Very stern.
Oh, yeah, it's his, right.
What was my point? I'm just wondering if, like, Sarah Palin opposes this for no reason other than it's Barack Obama doing it, I wonder.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because she probably is for it because she's in Alaska and lives there and probably agrees with the people that it should be called what it should be called.
Sure.
But I wonder if... I'm just not seeing a lot of stink about this yet, and I'm surprised that there's not a lot of stink.
No, there were people on both sides of the aisle who were applauding this change. So,
well, good.
They may not always agree, but I guess they for the most part agree on this, unless you're from Ohio and then it's an issue.
There's McKinley when he was a kid. He's 15 years old there.
Is it another angry stern?
Nope. He looks crazy.
Oh, he does look crazy. Well, that tie doesn't help.
Nope. And his eyes are nuts. Very odd.
Wow.
That's if he's 15 there. Everyone looked older back then.
Mm-hmm.
That does not look 50, like a...
That was 15?
15,
really?
My son's age.
Wow.
It's a different world, man. Anyway, so there's that. That's happening. Finally in the news, Mexican man... You're going to love this. Mexican man says 19-inch penis is destroying his life.
Oh, I'm sure.
It might be destroying his wife. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, well done.
A 52-year-old Mexican man. Mexican man. What's his powers?
Well, able to completely support himself on an incline. Excelsior.
They call them kickstand in high school.
That's right.
He says he has the world's largest unit, and it's making his life miserable. Roberto Esquivel Cabrera of Solito, Mexico, told a newspaper, The Vanguardia, like Vanguard, but...
Right, so you get The Guardian, we talked about that earlier, but in Mexico you got The Vanguardian.
Yeah, that he would like to be considered disabled because the member leaves him unable to work, forcing him to live on assistance and scavenge for food. Jeez.
What?
The social life is dismal as well, he says. Women are too scared to be with me, according to the newspaper. His unit is reportedly 48.2 centimeters, nearly 19 inches long, and the circumference is 25 millimeters.
Centimeters.
Centimeters, nearly 10 inches. What? Come on.
10 inches? Really?
10 inches in diameter? Come on.
Circumference.
Yeah. Think of that for a second. That's a small pizza. Pizza
Hut. So hold on, let me grab.
That's jacked up, dude.
Where's the tape measure?
Yeah, that's 10 inches. That's...
So...
Go around 10
inches. There you go. There you go. This is the...
Okay, hold it up. No way!
That's like a monster tall boy, basically, is what he's...
That's a personal pan pizza. Is what that is. He's being tested at a local healthcare center now. Doctors are going to try to figure out what to do, so...
How is it impacting his work?
I don't know. That part I don't know. Maybe it's just because he's... I don't know. I don't want to even
guess.
I'm
sure there's a desk job somewhere.
I don't even want to guess. What's happening to this poor guy?
Scavenging for food.
I know. I'm right. They're right. I'm being confused about diameter versus circumference. I know.
Yes, right.
But still, Brian correctly measured and still.
Yes, exactly. That was the.
That's like, hey, here at the Lowe's or the Home Depot, can you point me to the biggest piece of PVC pipe you have in the building? That's what that is. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers will be here to talk about, with Steven, talking about some cool stuff happening in pop culture. Veronica should be here with video game talk, and we have your emails later. Come on back for that. Before all that, though, Brian brought music, and he's going to play it for you now.
Yes, I am. I certainly am. Mm. There we go. I had to scroll down to find it. Great. Here it is. Ben wrote in, said, hey, Scott and Brian, your friendly Canadian traveler here. I hit the road today on my trip to move from London, Ontario to Seattle. It didn't quite work out to get the Tadpooler's help, but he wants to thank Christy and Boise and Ginger in Salt Lake City for contacting him. You know, he was the one who, we had the spots, the,
right,
sponsorship spots mm-hmm. about his travel and seeing if he could stay with Tadpoolers.
Right.
Had a bunch of people respond, but time-wise, it just didn't work out. Mm. For my move to Canada, to the USA, to marry the woman I love, and waiting all this time and distance, I would like to request any Canadian artist covering any American artist. I've included a suggestion, but ultimately, I trust Brian's judgment. I'll be listening through AGR. My stuff in tow, though, signed Ben.
Nice.
So, happy to play something here. Canadian artist Jan Arden has released a couple of great cover albums, and on them she covers, or on the second one, the one that just came out, she covers the Motels, Only the Lonely, singer Martha...
Plimpton.
Not Martha Plimpton, not Martha... Stewart. She was Martha and the Muffins, Martha, not Stewart. Yeah, well, Martha.
Okay.
Lead singer Martha.
All right.
From 2011, here is Jan Arden covering Only the Lonely.
We walked the loneliest mile. We smiled without any style. We kissed all together. We lied about each other's drinks. We lived without each other thinking what anyone would do without me and you. It's like I told you, only the lonely can play. So hold on.
Remember, all I know is it makes me feel Some of the die-casting machines can produce about 7,000 sets a day, and here's just one. These rough castings will drop to a conveyor belt, which carries them to the next stage, known interestingly as rumbling and petrol. Castings are, of course, mixed up with a great deal of unwanted material. This is easily removed, and the waste goes back to the foundry, where it is remelted and used again.
Please tell me where the toilet is.
The Morning Stream. Man, give me $50.
We're back. That was a great cover. I love
that. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember as a kid when that was a song, or younger, whatever I was. I remember not liking it very much, but for whatever reason that grew on me over time.
The video I remember very specifically with the split screen of Martha Davis's face. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember it's
got a text from my mom. Apparently, she really enjoyed our discussion over Mexican Penis Man.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah. I didn't know my mom listened, but apparently she does.
It's always right. Good when you find out your mom listens to our show. Join us now in joining and welcoming Stephen Schleicher to the program. Hello, Stephen.
Yay. Hello, everyone.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you getting along in the world? Everything going okay?
Good. I got a sick kid at home with me, so if you hear any shouting or screaming in the background.
Oh, man, that kind of that was bad.
No, he you know these talking apps where you talk to it, like the animated cat talks back to you?
Yeah, yeah.
He's been playing that all morning, and it's funny because he starts to get into an argument with the cat, and it gets into, no, you. And then get, no, you. No, you. No, you.
So it's, yeah, those never get anywhere. There's maybe a lesson in that somewhere. I don't know what it is, but there's some lesson in there.
I'm going to exploit my child and put him on YouTube. So.
Well, let me tell you this. You've got perhaps the cutest kids on Earth. I don't know.
No,
I don't know what happened there. But
I don't know either.
You really, your wife's genes just dominant in this in this race, yes. And man, just one day you're gonna have old Grandpa Steven there in a chair.
Yeah, it probably won't be old Grandpa Steven.
And you'll just have these beautiful little grandkids. Man, just what good looking kid you got there. Anyway, hey Steven, it's time for you to be on here talking about pop culture and fun stuff, comic books and whatnot. It's a major spoiler zone, Steven Schleicher, and there's some things happening. There's stuff going on. Tell me about this Diane Nelson thing.
So I think everyone knows that Diane Nelson was promoted several years ago to be the president of DC Entertainment. So she's in charge of all the comic properties and everything that goes on there. But then over the weekend, who was it? I forget his name. Brad Globe stepped down from the Warner Brothers Consumer Products division, and she has been assigned those duties in the interim until they find a replacement. My guess is she's going to just take on those duties with a higher pay.
That's all like the DC Direct stuff and like
that's the DC Direct stuff that takes care of Harry Potter, all the Batman Superman franchises, basically anything that Warner Brothers markets out of their movies from the consumer product side, t-shirts, toys, backpacks, whatever. She's going to have oversight on that.
Well, and that would include video games, I assume, right?
Like, I would imagine that it does include some kind of video games, although Warner Brothers Consumer Products is not Warner Brothers Interactive, which is their game division. Yeah. But I would imagine that if there's a toy that ties into that or something that ties into that, she would be in charge of that as well.
Let me tell you what I would pay for right now if they would do this, because Warner Brothers is the studio and rights holder for this Mad Max stuff, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's real money to be made with some like really cool scale modeling stuff.
Oh, I think so. I would bet that they're already working on it. I haven't been following NECA Toys, NECA. They've been doing a lot of stuff online lately where they're answering questions about Terminator and Predator and Aliens. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen them bring up anything about Mad Max stuff. But that could be something totally coming up in the future. Because, again, I don't think anybody expected that movie to be such a success that it was.
Yeah, or to have it just be so culturally impactful, like just having so many references. You know, last night I was watching just some clips because we're getting excited for the Blu-ray release tomorrow.
Right.
And my daughter and I were watching them, and we were just reminded of some of the minutiae in there and the world building and the stuff that's going on and the different factions and how they were presented and how rusty and nasty those freaking spiky Volkswagens were. And I would buy all of it. I would have the whole set, whatever it needed to be. I'd have the drummer set thing. I'd have the guy with the guitar. I'd get the whole schmear.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine that either, as far as toys, I mean, I'm only speculating, but McFarlane Toys would be a good one to go after. Sideshow Collectibles would be another one for prop replica stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you look, I'm sure that there are already many custom cars that are being built for people to go pick up.
Yeah, I'm in. So if they do that, they'll have my money because it's maybe one of the first properties in a very long time where I really want to like get everything about it, it all, and I want more fan art. You can't see it, but my wallpaper right now on my screen is a giant comic book spread of from one of the comic book adaptations they've been doing.
Oh yeah,
of that stuff, which is also really good. So
yeah,
once again, best movie of the last 10 years. I'm putting my money on it. Awesome. Well, there's that. So watch for more cool stuff coming out of DC, is my guess. Does she have an equivalent at Marvel? Is there somebody over there that's like that same?
I don't know who is in charge of that because Marvel Entertainment is really different from Marvel Comics, and Diane Nelson oversees both the comic side and the promotional side.
Yeah, on the other side, you got like Quesada doing editor-in-chief business on the comic, and then I'm guessing Disney's got their hands on all the movie and toy and all that stuff, is my thinking. Let's talk about Luke's lightsaber in the new Star Wars clip. So we discussed it briefly last Thursday, but it's a very short clip. It's like 8 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he whips that thing out. Looks like Luke's saber. Are we now confirmed that it's Luke's? Do we know?
Everyone says that it's Luke's. And from the short images that we've seen both in that video clip that appeared on Instagram and then everybody put it everywhere else, and also in that promotional poster that they had at D23 a couple of weeks ago, that was for Star Wars, where he's got the lightsaber in his hand. Everyone says that that's Luke's lightsaber.
Mm, looks like the hilt and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we to assume that Finn has some midichlorians?
I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to be that.
Do you think they'll even say that word?
I'm pretty sure they're not.
No. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure just to turn on a lightsaber, you don't need to have the power.
I hope what they do is they have like a TIE fighter with the word midichlorians written on the side of it. And it's barely noticeable, like an Easter egg. And then it gets destroyed at some point, and then that's the end of it.
I regret nothing. I did it for the midichlorians. I'm too fat.
It's exciting to think what the story implications of that are.
I think it's going to be very interesting as the story moves forward, because we've seen him now on this snowy winter world. We've seen him on Tatooine. So his story is going to be pretty important throughout the show.
It sounds central to me.
More
than I thought. I leading into it, you're like, well, I mean, he's got a stormtrooper outfit on, all right. So he's probably just a hapless whatever. Who knows? The girl seems to be the focus, but now I'm not so sure.
I think it's both of them are going to play an important role together, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this bit that was released last week is only about 8 seconds long or something like that. It's not very long, but it supposedly is going to be attached to a much longer piece that we will see maybe in about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
If not sooner.
Are you... what are we, like 100 days away or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised we've seen literally one official trailer. The first was a teaser, the one that came out last Thanksgiving, and we've only seen the one official trailer that's come out, and now we're starting to see these little bits and pieces. But Labor Day weekend's still a good chance for people to go to the movie theaters. That's where I'm next guessing we will see something.
New trailer?
A
new full-blown like minute and a half thing? Okay.
Although I would think that they would have started advertising that long before now, but they need to start cranking up that promotion machine, or else no one's going to go see this movie.
Yeah, I'm sure
they won't know anything about it.
Yeah, no one will have any idea that Star Wars is coming again. And yeah, I didn't know this last week, but I was reading somewhere that it was somebody's book. I can't remember where now I got this information, but I just never heard it before. And it sounds like everyone else knew about this, but I didn't know that George Lucas was trying and fighting in vain to get the Flash Gordon license.
Yes.
And gave up on that fight and did Star Wars instead. Like, what a crazy turn of fate that turned out to be.
I forget what book that was in, but it was also up on a video that appeared last week where he was talking about that. But yeah, that's been something that was well known for a long time. That, if they're not going to let me do it, I'm going to go make my own thing. And it turned into Star Wars, and what a huge success that was.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Thank goodness no flying jetpacks or anything like
that. Now I remember. It was Robert Rodriguez interviewed Fresh Air or something. Or maybe it was WTF. Anyway,
he was all over the podcast last week.
Yeah, he went crazy last week. That guy is really a genuine inspiration. Like, in terms of, like, a dude who figured it all out on his own. I mean, in a way, he's like a podcaster for film in a weird way. Like, it's really great to hear him tell tales. And he says one of the most inspiring stories he ever heard was that you never know, because Star Wars could have been, you know, who cares if it would have been freaking, Flash Gordon. Nobody cares. But that changed everything. And so rejection sometimes is the best opportunity for like changing the world. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mm-hmm. awesome story, that whole thing.
Yeah, I would recommend, speaking of Robert Rodriguez, that people go check out his book that he wrote about making El Mariachi, because it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he thought he was making this throwaway nothing movie. He talks about it a bunch in the interview. That's a great interview, by the way. People should listen to it. And you're like, I'm in awe of like the accidentalness of sometimes the accidentalness of fame and fortune, but not just that. Your willingness to be pure about what you're making and not worry about the money mm-hmm. or where it's coming from or who's going to be in it or any of the normal things people worry about ended up making a movie that had such a giant impact. And it's also a lot of right time, right place, but it's inspiring if you're creating things. Really, really worth checking out. Finally, Civil War debuts teams. What's going on there?
Yay. So first everyone thought it was just concept art, but then Marvel said, no, these are the teams that we're talking about so far. And so we have the Anti-Registration Team, which is composed of Ant-Man, Hawkeye, Agent 13, Captain America, Falcon, and the Winter Soldier. And we have everyone who's in favor of the pro-registration side, War Machine, Black Widow, Iron Man, Black Panther, and the Vision. Noticeably absent, the Hulk, Black Widow is there, Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch.
Wait, Black Widow's for registration?
That's what they've got her listed as. Yeah.
No, I don't have a problem with that. It's fine if that's what she wants to do, but she's already out in the open. She doesn't even have a mask on.
Right, so why wouldn't she be in favor?
Yeah, of course she would be. She's already... Yeah. That's a dumb...
A lot of people are like, well, she's a spy. Why would she want her cover blown in that case? But you're right. She's an Avenger. She's not really a spy anymore. Everyone knows who she is.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. She's being filmed on people's cell phone cameras flying around New York City mm-hmm. saving everybody. I mean, hello.
Picking up shields off the ground as she drives by. So
she's already out.
She's exposed.
But aren't they all kind of out in the MCU? That's the other weird bit here is that they're all kind of.
I'm not sure everybody is out. I mean, Tony Stark would certainly be out. War Machine would certainly be out. Black Widow would be out. Captain America would be out, I think.
Falcon would be. So he's probably just lending his support to this because he doesn't feel like it should be a requirement.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. Him and Captain America both are. It's mm-hmm. a principle for them.
Right.
Yeah, which is where which is why that story is at all interesting, which is where I hope they really focus there.
Yeah, it should be really mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah. But again, where's the Hulk? Where's Spider-Man? What's going on with that stuff? And Scarlet Witch. And I think that will be very interesting to see if they actually do make it into the movies or if we've been led along the entire way.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So this thing in the promotional photo then that's behind the Falcon, that is a...
Is that his Red Bird or whatever his little robot sidekick thing is?
Does he? Okay, so he has that.
he has a robot sidekick.
I don't know. I've seen some
Red Wing.
Mention
Red
it.
Wing was the right. I remember in the comics Red Wing. So maybe that's the case. Yeah,
that's
because you
I
see
it
in the background too of the fight shot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love fight shots like this where they've got their fist sticking out like they're just running with their fist straight out and hoping that it connects with the opponent.
Isn't that how everybody fights?
That's some very comic book business right there.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that that Black Panther's on the pro end.
Well, again, that was something that had come up a long time ago, and this is where the whole Spider-Man confusion may be getting people. Is originally before Sony and Marvel got the deal worked out, Black Panther was going to be the focal point of Civil War.
Yeah,
in the comic books, Spider-Man is the focal point, and Spider-Man initially comes out, and this is a spoiler for anyone who hasn't read the Civil War series that happened 6 years ago. Originally, Spider-Man unmasked in front of everyone, said he was Peter Parker in exchange for Iron Man helping him out, giving him the Iron Spider costume, and I believe a place in the Avengers Tower or Stark Tower somewhere, living there for a while and getting a steady paycheck off of it, all before later he flipped around and said, hey, wait a minute, this pro-registration is not a good deal. I'm going to go anti-registration, even though everyone knows who I am. And that's what led to the whole brand new day where everybody's memory was wiped of who Spider-Man really was.
I like the idea. So one thing they're doing here I really dig on is that the Vision mm-hmm. is pro-registration. That fits the kind of dark logic of an android,
right?
Super android. That's a great thing.
And if he's partly Jarvis Tech, he would certainly conform to whatever Tony Stark would want to do.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I really
am. It should
am.
Be really good.
I'm more excited about this than I was the Avengers 2. I'm more excited. As far as I'm concerned, the Captain America stuff's been my favorite of the Marvel movies anyway. I really enjoyed both those a lot. Mm-hmm. Second one's my favorite.
Yeah.
So I suspect I'm really going to dig this. This is basically another Avengers movie without them having to call out that.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. Well, good luck to everybody. Chris, what's his name, especially. All right.
Evans,
that's the guy. Always good things like this happening over at majorspoilers.com. Anything else you'd like to mention this week before we go?
I don't think so. Everybody check out our podcast. They're all good stuff. And check out our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. All sorts of stuff popping up over there this week.
That sounds good. Major Spoilers on Twitter as well.
For a Dice Masters playthrough thing.
Yes, that's coming up, I think, next week is when the first one happens.
Can't wait.
Brian,
that'll be a lot of fun.
That's tweaking Brian's nipple
right now.
That's
my jam right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, Steven, have a great week, dude. It's good to have you back. Right. We'll talk to you
Thanks,
soon.
Everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
I love Steven. Mm-hmm. I mean, not, you know, in a brotherly way.
No, in a right.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse anybody.
Unlike how we feel about Veronica.
Yeah, unlike that, which is, you know, different. Veronica Ann Belmont, Destroyer of Worlds, here with us today on a Monday talking about video games. Veronica, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. We missed you last week. Hope you had a good week. You and Brian will see each other this weekend, I suppose.
Oh, you're going to be at Dragon Con? Of course you're going to be at Dragon Con.
Of course I'm going to be at Dragon Con.
I
haven't missed one yet since I started coming.
That's right. Are you dressing up as anything or are you just going?
I may have a little outfit to wear for a particular get-together, but we'll see.
Oh, I see.
I wonder what that could be.
Hinty hint there. I like it. V comes on the show every Monday. We talk about video games, what's happening in the world of those said video games, and it's always fun and always good. What's going on out there? What's happening?
This is kind of a multimedia celebration today, but it's been announced that there's going to be a Borderlands movie.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
How exciting, except, wait a minute, the whole thing with Borderlands is, you can kind of go all Mad Max with it and ride on the coattails of that success, right? You can kind of go that way. But also, the thing that makes that game, I think, unique is its sense of humor and sort of sardonic wit.
Yeah.
Do we expect that to happen here?
I really hope so. So far, it's the production company is Lionsgate, and it's got some great people attached to it, including producers Ari and Avi Arad, who worked on Iron Man, X-Men, Spider-Man, and Amazing Spider-Man, which Iron Man gives me hope. X-Men gives me hope. Spider-Man!
Maybe not so much on those.
Not so much on those. But, you know, I'm still keeping fingers crossed. You know, Borderlands is such a great franchise. And like you said, it has such amazing humor and really great writing and a lot of fun, you know, embedded into it for such a kind of stark, you know, awful world that it's set in. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's going to be like Mad Max, except a little more fun and exciting. And not that Mad Max wasn't exciting, but there's different kinds of things that can go wrong on that world.
Sure. And it's a darker place. This should be a lighter, somewhat lighter fare, one would think. I mean, it's whatever. Video games and movies, they have a bad track record. But this seems like a franchise you could actually have some fun with and play with and not worry too much about what the fans are going to think about adding story or characters because it's already kind of a wacky world.
Can you imagine what the props are going to look like for this film, weapons?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Freaking Bill Duran will be busy for the rest of his life making these things.
Just think about it. I mean, it's going to be nuts. There's 16 million guns in that game.
Yeah.
And, like, what are they going to do for the movie? It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I think just for that alone, I want to see the prop design. I want to see what they come up with in terms of you know, costumes and the tech involved. I think it's going to be really neat. And some of the monsters, too, are going to look amazing.
Yeah, that could be pretty cool. There's a chance for them to do something visually with it that I don't think they're going to attempt, and that is to try to duplicate the kind of comic book hard edge ink drawing style of the characters. It'd be interesting to see if they tried to do something with that. Probably not. It seems a little too literal. They'd probably rather just go, here's a scruffy dude, you know, driving around in a car with a weird gun and not try to cel shade or, you know, do some kind of weird CGI treatment to the live action.
Oh, well, that's interesting because they could do something like, what was that film? You guys all know the film.
Scanner Darkly.
Yeah. They could do something like that, and that would be pretty interesting.
That would be interesting. I always see, whenever I see news of a video game being made into a film, I always wonder why they don't just go some CGI route. And I don't mean just, you know, I don't want Pixar cutesy whatever, but I mean, why couldn't they make like a serious, like, well-made CGI film?
There was a Final Fantasy. It was all CGI, kind of like that, without being cutesy. Some parts of Beowulf were like that, and they weren't done well enough to kind of get past that uncanny valley weirdness.
Well, you'd have to stylize it some. Like, the Warcraft cinematics strike me as a thing you could make an entire film with, but they and they don't have that uncanny problem because they're so stylized that, you know, the big strong orcs with a lot of expression, and the humans don't look quite human. They're a little buffer than they should be, and, you know, they're wearing armor that nobody could clearly wear, and like, why couldn't I just don't know why yeah, that isn't
that
a
is
thing
a way
more.
You could do it, yeah, as long as they're stylized but not cutesy stylized.
Everyone either goes live action, or they, if it's, you know, remaking Popeye or Peanuts, they go CGI as the default instead of 2D. And I just don't know why we don't live in a time where, I guess Japan does this. We should be more like Japan is what I'm getting at. I suppose.
I'm watching this whole series actually on YouTube right now called Begin Japanology.
Wow, what is this?
And it's all about different segments of Japanese culture. And I'm watching the pets episode right now. It's very enlightening.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Give me that name again one more time. What is it?
It's called Begin Japanology.
I'm watching this. Begin Japanology. Okay. I'm
it's
watching
pretty
that.
Cool. Yeah, they did. They had a whole episode on makeup. They had a whole episode on stationery, which is huge in Japan. So the pets one. I know it's a little off topic, but I love Japanese culture stuff. So I thought you might find it interesting as well.
That is incredibly interesting to me. Well, watch for it in theater soon. We don't have dates yet, or do we? Do we know when this is coming out, or it's too early?
I think it's still too early. Let me see. I'm scanning. Yeah, I don't know if they have any dates yet for that.
Yeah, I'm unaware of it either. It sounds like they're in way pre-production, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Some of these movies, like the Max Payne movie, went through like 300 rewrites before they finally finished it. The Uncharted movie, which looks like it's finally going to happen. That thing was in limbo for a very long time, so who knows if this will be. But I don't know, man. Seeing Michael Fassbender in a hooded Assassin's Creed outfit, it gives me hope that maybe we'll get a little more mainstream with these video game movies, and maybe Borderlands will, you know.
Yeah, that looked pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked all right. Like,
it looked all right.
Looked like what I wanted an assassin. I mean, he's not, the weird bit is apparently they've leaked that he's not one of the assassins we know. He's not Ezio, he's not.
No, that wasn't really a leak. That was in the press release.
Oh, was that just part of the thing? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not a character we've met before.
Yeah, and I think I actually am cool with that. Give me a thing I don't need to compare to the game other than the world and the lore. I think that's kind of awesome. So
yeah, I think that's a smart way of doing it, because it sets certain expectations, but it's not, you're not so attached to a character that you feel crushed if they're not exactly the way you expect them to be. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really smart way of doing a game adaptation, is by introducing an outside character. I think that's pretty smart.
Okay, last question. Who do we cast as Handsome Jack from the Borderlands movie?
Oh, I don't do casting. I'm bad at casting. They always try to get me to do casting on Vaginal Fantasy, and I'm bad at it, and I hate it. So I don't play this game. I like to be surprised.
Channing Tatum.
Done.
Sure.
He's a good-looking guy. Yeah, he's great. He's a sexy man.
As long as he takes his shirt off, I'm happy.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, good. Did you say that out loud? Quiet part loud? It's all right. Hey, trust me, we always get creepy on this show.
You're breaking up.
Veronica Belmont, at Veronica on Twitter. See her at DragonCon. If you see her, come up, say hi. And anything else happening this week you want to mention?
No, yeah. I posted my schedule for DragonCon, so it's on my website under the schedule section. So if you want to come visit at any panels and say hi, I would love to have you. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great DragonCon.
Very cool. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Stay out of trouble. Bye.
Bye.
Now. Bye. See now. Ya. See ya. Bye now. All right. There she goes.
Very good.
Off into the ether, really. Brian, let's do some emails real fast, and then we'll let people go about their lives. They're brought to you by
the Fantasy Treasure Chest Kickstarter. No, not a Victoria's Secrets ad, but a high-quality treasure chest for dwarven people, elven people, human people, or anyone. And gnome people, too. Everybody. Check it out at bit.ly/fantasychest.
Nice. Mandy McGregor wrote in.
Do you know how much you mean to me, Mandy McGregor?
Hi, Scott and Brian. I've been listening to the Morning Stream since the start, and I'm always a few episodes behind because of work. I just listened to episode 880, Escargoo, where Daryl asks you if Empire Biscuits were actually cookies or Star Trek cookies. I would love to send Scott, Brian, and Daryl some actual Empire Biscuits for one of your tasting sessions if you're interested, but maybe as I'm behind in the podcast, somebody else has already offered to do this. If you would like me to send some, please let me know, and I can do this. Insert funny phrase that rhymes with love the show, though, Mandy McGregor. Yeah, we do want you to do that, because no one has offered.
We haven't had anyone, no one's offered to send us Empire Biscuits yet, so please send us some Empire Biscuits.
Yes, and so you know, Mandy, I'll send you an email that you may get before you hear the show. I don't know.
But, right.
And letting you know, so it's good.
Because otherwise we have to call 588-2300-Empire Biscuits.
It's too many numbers.
It's really bad.
It's too many numbers, too.
What?
It's too many numbers, right? If you do 1-800...
Would you say? It's 588. So it's 800-588-2300. That's the number. That's where it stops.
Oh, I thought you were saying, and then spell out.
The next part is just telling you.
Got it.
What you're going to get when you call that number.
That worked out great. The whole thing worked out great. Walter wrote in, says, Jesse.
I'm the one who writes.
I'm the one who writes, yeah. We're both going there. Referring to Jerry O'Connell. Quote, he's all slim and normal looking now, unquote. That's what I said.
Yes, you did.
Now, I sometimes say things that are stupid. We all know this, okay? Anyway, I'll read on. It says, nice, Scott. So everyone who isn't slim isn't normal looking. People come in all shapes and sizes, Scott. You insensitive dolt. I get it. You slimmed down, so the rest of us are now abnormal freaks. Thanks a lot, Scott. Love the show, I guess, Walter. Now, I'm going to assume from his tone that he's, you know, having a little fun with me.
I think so, yes.
I didn't mean... What, here's kind of what I meant, and it came out wrong. Jerry O'Connell used to be a big round kid, and when he got older, he got really slim and beefy, or, you know, muscly. Uh-huh. And what I mean by when I say he's all slim and normal, I just mean you'd never recognize him if you compared him to a photo of when he was a kid. That's all I'm trying to say. Sure. The words came out sounding like normal.
I don't think you need to explain it.
All right.
And I think you did a very good job of explaining it and not digging the hole deeper. So I'm applauding you for that.
I spread dirt around a little, but I didn't really dig any lower.
No, that's okay. True. That's true. Fine. And by the way, people, I'll represent the rest of you.
Dear,
I'll represent the normal-looking ones. I'll represent the rest.
Dear Succotash and Beef, says Russell Shelp. That's a great name. Okay. Russell Shelp. Last week, Nicole Spagnuolo recommended Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, a pre-apocalyptic movie starring... I think he meant post-apocalyptic. Was it pre-apocalyptic? Well, anyway.
It was pre-apocalyptic, yeah, because okay. the end of the world hadn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet, so okay, that makes sense. Starring Steve Carell and Keira Knightley, many actors of both dramatic and comedic repute have cameos in the film, including Gillian Jacobs, Patton Oswalt, Larry from Parks and Recreation, and spoiler alert, Martin Sheen. I'm glad that Larry's the only one we don't have a number for.
I like that, too. Like, we don't know the actor's name. Oh, yeah. You know, Larry. Yeah. Jerry. Gary.
Gary. Larry.
Jerry Gergich. Larry.
Do you ever find it distracting when well-known actors pop up for 2 or 3 minute roles that don't really establish the characters? I ask because among the reasons I didn't like the second half of the film, having a new, hey, that's the guy from a Popular Thing character appear every 15 minutes really takes me out of it. Regarding the Mo, though, Russell Shelp. I know what he's talking about. I felt this way a little bit with the Matt or Matthew. What's his freaking name? The Bourne Identity. What's his name?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Jeez.
Yes.
Matthew Perry kept popping in my head.
Matthew Damon.
When Matthew Damon, his mother called him that. When he kept showing up in, or when he showed up in,
Interstellar.
Interstellar. I was like, well, wait a minute. You need to at least give me some. I mean,
some warning that he's coming up.
Yeah, it was fine, but he's a very prominent actor, so
yeah,
it does throw me for a loop. So I think I kind of agree with Russell on this. It's annoying.
Yeah, I don't know if I.
It works in the Muppet Show, right?
I don't want them to feel like they can't do that, though, right? Because I mean, how cool is it when you see Steven Seagal at the beginning of Executive Decision, and you think that he's going to be around for the whole film, or Emilio Estevez in Mission Impossible?
Right. That kind of works, or a better example, when at the end of Robin Hood, the bad one.
Oh, right. The king is Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. That's a cool thing. But I feel like you can do that at the end and get away with it. They did that with Men in Tights, except the king surprise was Patrick Stewart. Remember that? So he came out.
Right. That's right.
And you can do it like Marvel Stinger style, where the final thing you see is somebody who's famous, or, you know, whatever. I think there are ways to do it, but when it happens all the time, I think that only works in Muppet movies.
Yeah, right, where it's a long parade of cameos. Mm-hmm. That's probably where the problem is. It isn't with them doing that, them pulling somebody out like that and having them make a cameo.
Yeah.
But it's when it's one right after the other and you're like, just recovering from the first one to get back into the movie and be like, okay, back to the the storyline, and there's another one. I think that's probably it.
Yeah. Or at least give us a warning. If you're going to put Superman, you're going to have Superman's dad played by
Kevin Costner?
Nope. The old ones.
Mike Farrell?
Nope. Mike Farrell. Mike Farrell.
He played Pa Kent.
No, you're thinking of the TV show, and you're thinking of, that is not Mike Farrell. That's one of the Duke boys. That's Bo.
Mike Farrell played Superman's dad on one of the TV shows.
Incorrect.
Smallville, right?
No, you're thinking that's the guy. That's Bo Duke.
Or am I thinking of Providence? No, he was there. We go, Jonathan Kent.
Yeah,
in the TV series
played by
Mike Farrell.
What?
Yes,
on Smallville.
No, Superman.
Oh.
The TV series Superman from 1996 to 1999.
Oh, that I don't know. I never saw that. I thought you meant, so here, the person who played him on, I can't find
it. It was just voice work. I guess it wasn't.
That was a cartoon?
Wasn't.
Okay, Kent. Clark Kent, Martha Kent.
I wasn't completely out of left field.
There it goes. It's John Schneider.
Okay, you were talking about the Duke boys, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I was thinking of that. Anyway. But the old movies with the Christopher Reeves. Who's the guy? I can't think of his name.
Oh, you're talking about Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
So you're talking about Kal-El.
And right. He's barely in it, but at least you knew in the previews. Jor-El, right. Yeah. You knew in the previews and you knew in like the press leading up, you knew that he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that right. I can deal with. But when it's just like, bap, surprise, Matt Damon is a space dude. It just throws right. you off. Although I'm looking forward to The Martian very much.
Oh, I can't wait for that, yeah.
Yeah, that book is so good.
we almost had a Lion King moment there.
Yeah, we kind of almost did. Oh, I was going to play. Somebody wanted to hear this again. I forgot who asked. I'm going to play this for people real quick. This is my chunk. They'll remember this from the other day.
Okay.
Chunk. Ah! Oh my gosh.
Wow. I wish that was on Jeopardy.
So embarrassing. All right. Finally, that's it. That's all the emails. If you want to send an email in, themorningstream@gmail.com, please send them. We love them. Frogpants.com/TMS. Our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. Brian can be found on Twitter at Coverville. You can find me at Scott Johnson, the show at Morning Stream, and if you'd like to leave a voicemail, 801-471-0462. That's it. We've done a show.
Completed that.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk to Justin in the basking light of his post completed successful Kickstarter.
Yeah, he's between two milestones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did really
the
well.
Successful Kickstarter and the marriage.
Yeah, and the nightmare that is Kickstarter fulfillment. So. Enjoy.
Oh, right. No kidding.
I'm still in the middle of mine, and it's a big heavy...
As am I.
It's a heavy piece of business, as you know well, yeah.
Packs
of
boxes behind me that are going out. We're just getting them out in waves.
I got to put out a video today showing progress, so that'll be fun.
Ooh.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll get that. I think we'll have Bill here in between things before he heads out. I know he's been swamped with... has guests with him for the PAX business he just finished up, so... with him leaving right away again for next week. I don't know what that means. But we'll get all to that tomorrow. So thank you all for being here. I guess that's it. Brian, you want to play some music?
Let's play some music.
All right.
This one's going out to Jason Marut, who emailed in, said, "Hey guys, my good friend Vin Kowalczyk is turning 34 on August 31st. Vin is the person that introduced me to TMS, and I've listened every day since, and I am forever grateful for his recommendation. As a thank you and a birthday gift, I'm requesting that you play a cover of anything from Star Wars. If there isn't any, Darius Rucker's Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch will do just fine."
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
I was ready this time.
You were.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything and keep up the great work. Signed, Jason Marut.
Right.
Well, great. Yeah, happy to do it. I was really close to just picking something, you know, from the new Star Wars album by Andrew Allen. But we've played some stuff from that. I wanted to kind of... you know, not go for the easiest thing I could do, although I feel like I, you know, do need to promote that album a little bit more. Mm. Go check it out on Amazon and iTunes. Andrew Allen's Live from the Cantina.
That's right.
How about another cover? This one is something very different. This is from Oxide, and it's a 2013 album called Pixel. Now, this is sort of a chiptune, but not your traditional chiptune sound. And we have more of that coming up later this week. I think you guys are really going to like this. This is New Hope. It is a cover of the Star Wars, of some Star Wars music, and it's performed by Auxide, A-U-X-C-I-D-E. Mm. Here is New Hope.
You know what I like about it is it's the fourth track, which is the same number as the New Hope. Isn't that cool? I bet they did that on purpose.
Weird. I wonder if that was on purpose.
It must have been. If not, lucky happenstance.
Yes.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being here. See you then. Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Plus, I was getting urinary tract infections.
Ew.
Mm.
Tell me that. Gross.